All right, this is fun. This is good stuff. Jesus, in a fit of rage in the temple area, casting out the money changers and those selling all sorts of animals for the sacrifice. This is good cinema. Has The Chosen done this one yet? I can't wait. This is good stuff, but it takes place in the week of the Passion. And for you Bible trivia folks, this is one of only about a dozen of everything in the scripture, events in the life of Jesus, actions and words of his, that is recorded in all four Gospels. Most of them, eight of them, take place in Holy Week itself, so in the Passion, obvious reasons, and just a few others outside of that. But each and every Gospel writer thought that this was so important that they all had to write it down, which should tell us something about this. Matthew wrote about it. Mark put it down. Luke had it in there. Larry included it in his gospel. All of them. They all wrote about it. So what is it about this experience of Jesus cleansing the temple that must have been so impactful that they couldn't help but, I'm going to make sure I get this in there too. Well, first, we could say, well, it's the Passion in the heart of Jesus. He was overcome with zeal, and it uncharacteristically grabs some cords, makes a whip, and starts cleaning the house. He was angry. We don't hear about that. And he calls people out, like the scribes and the Pharisees, but this physical anger must have had an impact on those apostles, oh boy, that they wrote it down. Us, my fellow German-Russians, we like to cite this as an example, as a justification for our fits of rage. Fine. But keep in mind, Jesus got angry, threw a fit, once in 3 years. So there we go. We should have a restart today. Okay, spouses, parents to your kids, say restart. You can be angry and throw a fit once in the next 3 years. I wonder what our homes would be like. So there's something about the humanity, the zeal in the heart of Jesus that must have impacted them. But even more so, I think what was impactful is then what he said about the temple. Now this is really important. And I believe this is the primary reason why it's in here. Because the temple, to the Jews of the day, to the apostles, was everything. It was the one place that you could go to meet God. So important was it that every male Jew had to go there 3 times a year, just to make sure that we were right with God. Remember, that was the whole process of the history of salvation, is getting right with God. Go to the temple, offer sacrifice, now we're good. That was the place. There was no other. So Jesus does this crazy thing and says, go ahead, tear down this temple. I will rebuild it. And then the early apostles realized this extraordinary truth about him. He said, no, now he's the temple. Wait, he's where we go for mercy. He's where we go to get right with God. And when he ascended, and he said, I will be with you always, they realized, it's not we no longer have to go to God. He's come to us. And the experience of mercy is not tied to a place anymore. You don't have to go on 3 days' journey. You have to do one thing. Call upon Jesus. Bring me your mercy. That would have been earth-shattering for the early Jews, and it should be earth-shattering for us. I mean, in my home, I can say, Jesus, come here, bring your mercy, and he'll come? Yes. Of course, we got to go to the temple every Sunday and a few holy days out of the year. And we got to go to the confessional. But even that's not limited. I've heard confessions in airports and soup kitchens, all sorts of places. The mercy of God is not confined to a place. It's now in a person. And that person has the ability to be everywhere he is called to be. This must have blown their minds and hearts. We don't have to go there anymore. He's come to us. We just call upon him, and the mercy of God will be with us. Yes, in our homes and offices and our church, of course. Jesus, the temple. But it didn't stop there. Because then he does this crazy thing, which St. Paul understood well, and said, now, you all too are the body of Christ. You too are temples of the Holy Spirit. So insofar as we are part of his body, and his body is a temple, then we become little temples. Imagine that to the early Christians. Wait. That holiest place that was adorned in marble and gold that everyone talked about and had to go see, wait, I'm becoming one of them? Crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Paul said, yeah, that's pretty much what he said. That's what we understand. That the living God will dwell in you. Truly, really want to dwell in you. It's one of the most, we got a baptism today of a wonderful couple that I married a few years ago. This little baby right now, no God. In 30 minutes or less, if I shut up, a temple of the Holy Spirit, the living God in this child. Do we know this? Maybe this is why we're supposed to be kind to one another and treat each other as a temple of the living God. So not only did Jesus make himself the temple, then we who are united to him become temples. And he loves the temple. And he's zealous for the temple, which is why he wants this temple cleansed. So, the zeal in the heart of Jesus is for this temple and that temple and that temple. And he knows that an enemy has invaded that temple, planted bad seeds. These are the money changers, making a mockery of his dad's house, each temple. And he goes in and says, let's clean up. Because it don't belong in here. What the enemy have sown in your heart, which we call vice, is no longer allowed to be here. The vice of sloth or laziness that causes me to put God somewhere down the line of priority. Jesus says, let's cleanse that, because you're going to be happier, more complete, the more you give yourself to my Father. The vice of lust and gluttony, that desire for the things of this world. He says, let's cleanse that. Let's kick that out. Because you're going to be happier when your hearts are more full of me instead of that junk. The vice of wrath, when you get angry and yell more than once every 3 years. Jesus says, let's cleanse that. That doesn't belong in there. And you know it, and I do. It's ugly. Let's get rid of it. That the money changers, literally the envy and the greed that caused me to cling and to worry about the things of this, my bank account and tomorrow. Jesus says, let's cleanse that. That's not from me. Trust in me. He's so grateful for what you have. All those things. And then when that begins to happen, that cleansing, which is why we're doing Lent, then we become complete. Joyful and peaceful. So in this Lenten journey, perhaps an image for you to remember, we're the temple, not by our own doing, but Jesus has placed his Spirit in us, and he wants some work to be done in there. And so if any of those vices I mentioned, sloth, wrath, gluttony, lust, envy, greed, come to the surface as, yeah, I need to work on that, then we just do one thing. And we don't do it just when we're in church. We do it on our way to brunch. And this afternoon, and before we lay our heads in bed, we say, Jesus, I need that gone. And I can't get it out. It's stuck. Jesus, cleanse it. Push it out. And fill that spot that is made by you and for you. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. What a gift. And Jesus loves us beyond imagining and wants to keep working in here. That's Lent. May it be a fruitful journey the next couple weeks.